Let you stand up, and then you'll feel better when I go to preach when you sit down.
Hallelujah.
Enjoy sitting down. If I let you sit down, then the seats will get hard. Praise God. I see some of them are not here in church this morning. I
never have had
a whole lot of confidence in anybody's experience that's too lazy to get up on Sunday morning and go to church. If they can get up 5 days a week and 6 days a week to go to work, or maybe I got it backwards, to go to work, then they can come to church. Amen. And take one morning for God, since Sunday morning, or that is, church, is the most important of all the things you will ever do in your life, coming to the house of God, then I think that we should do it. And it looks like that among the brethren, there are those that are willing to let them do all the work, whether it be on the building or whether it be coming to church or whatever it might be, and not give anything in the offering either. But you can rest assured of one thing, that God will eventually move those people out of our midst. You can rest assured that the Lord will eventually move them out of our midst. He will not have that kind of people. Judas was like that, but God eventually moved him out of the midst of the brethren. So then God would eventually move him out, and another will take his crown. And I've seen him do this before, and he will do it again. I want to especially commend the men this morning for coming to church. Some men are just too lazy to come to church. And they send their wives to church, and they say, well, as long as I'm represented, that's all. Now, and I found this all across the United States and everywhere I've went. I find it in Mexico, Brother Al, I find it all across the country. Now, I wonder how many of you men feel like if you sent your wife up on the job to represent you on Monday morning to your employer or to the man that you're contracting for, I wonder if that would do the job just as long as you're represented up there. I just wonder how you feel about that. I think God's got more sense than your employer. So you better think these things over, folks. I mean, we look at God like he's some kind of moron or something. That's right. That's right. You say, Brother Pike, that's the way some folks look at him. Now you say, well, I didn't say that. That's the way they judge him. That's the way they judge him. The way they act toward him, they act like God's some kind of moron. He don't know nothing, don't understand nothing, just any old way they do with God. Well, you can't do that with your wife, you can't do that with your children, you can't do that with nobody. Amen. God is the greatest intelligence of all the eternal, well, not eternal ages, but ages in all of eternity. He is the supreme one in everything. And the Bible said he's a great God. You're not to offer a lame, halt sacrifice offering to God. He said, Israel, don't bring me that kind. Now, if God was that precise with Israel and he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, what do you think he's going to do with us, folks? If you come to church one day and miss one day and another day, that's a halt, lame, blind offering. Now, God is an understanding God, and he's a reasonable God, and he knows that sometimes things come up whereby you might not come to the house of God, and he allows for it. Not that he sees any reasons for it. He doesn't see any reason for you being out of his house. You ought to neglect everything else. But nevertheless, he makes allowance because he's reasonable. Isn't that right? Now, so then, in a lot of times, the wife is contented to go to church on Sunday morning as long as the husband keeps the breadbasket full. That's right. As long as he keeps the breadbasket, she don't care where he goes to church or not, as long as he keeps it full. That's a shame on the ladies. Amen. You ought to go in there and say, husband, get up out of the bed and let's go to church. And he says, no, wife, I'm not going. Say, well, I'm going on. I'm going to pray for you and ask him to pray. I know that it's laziness, the spirit of laziness, so I'm going to have him to pray for you. Oh, you say, well, he might run me off. Well, that'd be all right. That'd be all right. You just keep praying, and God will take care of them. You just tell him because he's lazy. Well, you're going to church anyhow. And don't be rude. Just tell him in sweet love and grin at him and say, you're just lazy and don't want to go. Now, I'll go on myself. Pray. That's exactly the way to do. Now, so then you're breaking from it. This is the reason that we've got women preachers all over the country right now, Jim. That's why women are preaching in the churches today. And that's why women have control of the house of God today. It's because men have not been concerned enough about God and considered God important enough to carry on God's work. And it is send the wife and the young ones and let them desecrate the house of God and do it any old way. But my brother and my sister, that has come to an end. I said, that's come to an end. God is through with that thing. God is through with that thing. There won't be anymore. God won't let that happen anymore. God is going to raise up a church, and it's going to be male leadership. Women was made for the glory of man. But the Bible said man was made for the glory of God, and God wants man to carry on his work. That's when he gets glory. Amen. Praise God. I don't want a man carrying on my household duties out of that. I don't get no glory out of nothing like that. I want my wife carrying it on because a woman was made to do it. That's the glory of it. And so then God wants that in his house. Amen. All right, now, I want us to really get right down, as we say, to brass tacks about things. And the Bible said, if your brother trespass against you, rebuke him. Now, a lot of times the brothers say, I don't feel like coming to church, and I can't go to the house of God. And just as quick as church is over, they'll come and start talking. You want to talk and talk and talk, and maybe I'm already weary from preaching and trying to counsel. Maybe somebody's waiting for me at the house. Now, a lot of times I walk off and leave brethren like that to rebuke them, to let them know that that's wrong. And it's also wrong to come to the house of God and walk around outside and sit out in the car or do something else. That's wrong to do that. Amen. We should have respect for God and have respect for God's house and have respect for God's people. And I know you're disappointed this morning. You thought you was going to preach, but I don't feel to call on you to preach. I don't feel no leadings, and that's why I'm preaching. So then you just have to work with me. It's because you get some idea of something. Maybe God spoke to you. I don't know, but this is what I feel to do. I have to do what I feel to do when to have my conscience clear before God. All right, now reading from chapter 10, if you've got your Bibles, I'd like for you to read with me. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of these things, can never with those sacrifices which they offer year by year continually make the comer thereunto perfect. That's Hebrews chapter 10. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers once purged should have had no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sin. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offerings thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Above, when he said sacrifice and offering, and burnt offerings and offerings for sin thou wouldest not, neither had his pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering, sometimes the same sacrifice which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin, forever sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now, where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking forward of judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy unto two or three witnesses. Of how much sorrow punishment suppose ye shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. For we know him that hath said, Vengeance belongeth unto me, and I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But call to remembrance the former days in which after you illuminated you endured a great flight of afflictions, partly while ye were made a gazing stock both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly while she became companion of them that were so used. For ye had compassion of me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Now then, a thought right here that I'd like to bring out if I could. Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Hallelujah. I'd like you to especially notice the veil here that he speaks out and the full assurance that God commands us to approach the throne with. In full assurance. I believe that there's one thing that the people of God stand in need of today, not only here in this church, but in every church across America and every church across the world. It doesn't matter what church it might be, I feel that they stand in need of having full assurance in the things of God. We say, well, Brother Pike, I've got full assurance. Now, I know a lot of times when things are going well and everybody is tapping you on the shoulder and everything is outstanding in your life and you don't have any crosses in front of you. You don't have any bridges that looks dangerous. Well, everything seems to be all right. You got full assurance. I know that. But I'm speaking of a full assurance, my friend, when the finger, as they say, is down on you. They tell me that in the great arenas where they used to have those great slaughters and turn the Christians into those places, they tell me that the people, if they were satisfied with the contest that the man had done pleasing to them, that they would hold their hand up, which meant that the man was not to be slaughtered, but to go free. But if they put thumbs down on him, or a finger down on him, that meant that the man was to be slaughtered. And a lot of times, we go along pretty good, but we always kind of looking for thumbs up. Isn't that right? As long as we think there's a chance to get out of it, then we go along with it, Brother Jimmy. But there comes a time when there's going to be a cross in front of you. There comes a time, Brother Isle, when you're going to have to sacrifice the flesh. And the Bible said, consider Jesus, our high priest, who has once suffered in the flesh. He's once suffered in the flesh that he might cease from sin. And what we need to do is to get ready to suffer in the flesh. Paul said, equip yourself with this kind of mind. That is a mind to suffer. We have a mind to eat. We have a mind to do the things that we want to do. We have a mind to visit our relatives. We have a mind to pretty up our homes. We have a mind to make money. But he said a mind to suffer. That's what we need to have within our hearts. Have a mind to suffer. So then the Lord Jesus Christ equipped himself with a mind to suffer. And the Bible said inasmuch as he suffered in the flesh, then he ceased from sin. The only way to cease from sin is to swear to your own hurt and suffer in the flesh. And this is the thing that we don't want to do. As I say, as long as thumbs is up, we feel all right because we don't have to suffer. But when thumbs are down, then it takes courage. Hallelujah, to serve God. It takes courage to be able to go on with God when thumbs are down on you. Daddy, when they turned those people loose in that arena, I'm satisfied that they were happy. It's still over there, the site of it is still there. You can go there and look at these things where they offered people. people to the lions and to the beast and killed them out. And a lot of them, no doubt, was happy when thumbs was up because nobody wants to die. But I heard of a lady that was so courageous. I've related it to you in the past. I'd like to relate it again to you today. The woman, when she found out that they was going to burn her at the stake, she put on her very finest clothes, her prettiest dress that she had. And when they came to get her, they couldn't understand it. She was all fixed up and looked nice, like she was going to a wedding instead of to a funeral. And there, they wanted to know what had a hold of her. And she said, I want to look my best when I die for my Savior. Hallelujah. Thumbs down on her. But nevertheless, she believed God and understand that they turned her loose and did not take her out to sacrifice her. I heard of another case where a man was going up the hill. They was leading him up the hill, and he was laughing, going to the guillotine, and laughing because he was going to die for Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise be unto God. I like men of courage. I like men of renown. I like men that can go forth and have courage in God and have faith. Not when everything's all right, but my brother, when everything is all wrong, that's faith in God. That's faith in God. Having a full assurance, hallelujah, that everything's going to be all right as we sing the song when thumbs are down on us. That's faith in God. When you're stranded in the mountain, when you're stranded in the desert, when you're stranded on the sea, wherever you're at, have faith, hallelujah. Have full assurance, not a wavering, but a full assurance in God that everything's going to be all right. Paul the Apostle, shipwrecked. We're out in the middle of the sea just before the wreck occurred. Here the heavens turned black. All hope was lost. They had to throw the food overboard. And Paul said, no small tempest lay upon us. And day and night, for many days, it laid upon them. But Paul had faith in God. The captain was real brave when thumbs was up. He was ready to go out on the water and face whatever might come. He thought he could go through it. No doubt he'd been through a storm before. He knew that if he run into a storm, he could make it. But my brother, he'd never run into a storm like he did when he took Paul the Apostle on board. Amen. That little ship had never hit a storm like that. The tempest lay on him day and night. The wrath of God moving day and night on that ship because he wanted to change captains. Amen. He wasn't satisfied with the skipper. So he changed skippers right out in the middle of the ocean, or the middle of the sea there. He changed skippers. He wanted them to listen to Paul. Amen. Paul told them before they left, he said, you better not do it, and I perceive that this voyage or this journey is going to be with much hurt. But the captain thought he knew best. He thought he knew what to do. He was intellectually brilliant, and he reasoned things out for himself, and he didn't listen to God. But when he got out in the middle of the sea and the great tempest hit him, old Paul the Apostle was the only one that knew what to do. Amen. When God let thumbs go down on them and every one of them knew they was going to perish, they didn't have the courage that they needed. Paul went away and fasted and prayed. And the angel of God came before him and said, Paul, fear not. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Somebody said, well, it was because Paul fasted. My brother, that angel didn't come to Paul because he fasted. No, sir, he came to Paul because Paul had been a trustworthy servant. Everybody on the ship was fasting. Paul fasted 14 days, but everybody on the ship fasted 14 days too. Why didn't the angel come to everybody else? It was because Paul was loyal, hallelujah. Amen, and he had a full assurance. Them other men fasting, but they didn't have no full assurance. The Bible said, when you pray, believe. Amen. Paul had faith, John. He walked out there and he stepped out on board. And he said, don't be afraid. He said, this night the angel of God, whose I am, hallelujah, and whom I serve, stood before me and told me that nobody was going to be hurt. Said, don't be afraid. Everything is going to be all right. Amen. Praise God. I'll tell you one thing. The skipper didn't try to do anything else. He just turned everything over in the hands of Paul. And they had a new skipper. And the tempest left. Hallelujah. And things begin to go right. Amen. When things are all going wrong, you need a new skipper. When you can't get things to go right, the churches need to make a change. Amen. Praise God and get Christ on board. When he stood on board with the disciples and the wind whipped around his garment down the little boat, and all of them had lost their faith. Jesus had faith in God. Amen. He stood there with the lightning popping and the waves roaring. But he looked to heaven and he believed. He had faith in God. Amen. My dad-in-law yesterday came to visit with me, my wife's mother, and my dad-in-law literally shook, you might say, when he looked out here and he saw these men working in the rain and the lightning popping like shotgun shooting, like dynamite exploding. Brother Zell Carnes sitting up on the top of the building with a cowboy hat on like he was riding it like a horse. Amen. Working for Jesus right on through the storm and through. You say, that was foolish. My brother, if he'd have been doing it for any other purpose but God, I'd said it was foolish. But the Bible said that men hazarded their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Willing to get the job done. Praise God. Men that stood out there, I saw Brother Atlee Beecher the other day standing out in the weather and the lightning popping and taking iron and planting the iron together, knowing that it's a conductor and knowing that that electricity that's in the heavens is wild and no respect to person. But he kept on for God. Amen. Praise God. Men of courage, men of valor, men of renown. David had some men in that army back there. Brother Frank Taylor, that wouldn't shrink from nothing. There was nothing to move those men. When it come to doing a job for Jesus Christ, they laid their lives down and they went forth to battle for Jesus Christ. And the Bible said the New Testament characters was equally as good. Amen. They hazarded their lives for the name of the Savior and Lord that we serve. Praise God. You say, Brother Pike, why did they do that? Because they had full assurance. Glory to God, they were fully persuaded, as Abraham was. Amen. That what God had promised, he was able also to perform. Hallelujah. They had a conviction in the Word. And when the tempest come, and the heartaches come, and the sorrows come, and when thumbs went down, they said, just like old Daniel, glory to God, if the lions get us. And the Hebrew children said, if the fire gets us, all right, we'll die for Jesus. Hallelujah. If we must die, we'll die. Amen. The Hebrew children looked back at that old king and they knew thumbs was down on them. Glory to God, they knew there wasn't no way to get out there unless Jesus worked a miracle. They stood right bold in his face and they said, be it known unto the old king. Hallelujah. Said, we will not worship the image. Amen. We'll not do it. Those thumbs was down on them. They stood there. Said, now our God that we serve, he's able to deliver us. They had the confidence. But said, O king, be it known unto you that if he doesn't deliver us, said, it don't make any difference. Said, we're still going to serve him anyway. Still not going to bow down to the image. Did God stand up for him? Did God let him down? Did God let him down? My brother, I believe when they stood in that arena over yonder in Rome and the women had their breasts just ripped off of them and had their bodies torn apart, I believe God's angel stood yonder in heaven and stretched out their hands. And Michael might have said to Gabriel, glory to God, look what's coming. Amen. Look at the courage that's out there in that man. I'm always reminded of Gideon. When they had moved in and taken everything they had, they didn't have nothing to feed the little children. Pushed them off in the corner, took the fields, left them without anything. No Gideon out there under a tree trying to find enough grain left over to thrash it on a stone out there to feed his little old family. He heard the angel of God. God was taking notice. God was looking down and God saw them things. He heard the angel of God walk out there, Brother John, and he said, Gideon, oh Gideon, he said, thou mighty man of valor. Glory to God, Gideon. He said, you're great and mighty, Gideon. Why? Because human beings can have faith. I said, human beings can have faith. Praise God, human beings can have faith. That's the greatest thing that's ever happened in this world. Human beings have the opportunity to have faith. And when a person's got faith, there's nothing that's impossible to them. Oh, how the angels would love to be like human beings. They'd love to be like human beings. But that's where the limitation comes in. Hallelujah. They've never been redeemed by Calvary. They've never had the blood atonement spilled for them. They don't have the opportunity to believe in the atoning blood of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, because they don't know what it is. Amen. Amen. Somebody said, but the angels in heaven sin. I know it, but they never did get back no more. I said, they never was redeemed no more. The blood didn't apply for them. They'll be cast into the abyss. That's right, because they already knew right. They knew right from wrong, but we didn't. And in our ignorance, God has had compassion, provided atonement. Hallelujah, within the veil. Praise God. And so then Gideon, thou art a mighty man to valor. Gideon thought, well, now, if God's with me, he said, where are the miracles at? He said, we had miracles down in Israel, in the land of Israel, when God was with us. But he said, praise the miracles that God wrought, if God's with us. And the angel didn't have to see no miracles. That's foolish. That's foolish to demand anything, to say that God's with us. God said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Gideon should have had faith in what God said to Abraham and what God said to Jacob. My brother and my sister, it takes faith before the miracle comes. It takes faith in God's word to shape in our life. It isn't God's fault because we don't have the things that we need among us. That's because we won't shape in our life to God and meet his commands. Amen. We got personal motives. We got personal desires. We're not concerned about his people. Not trying to do the will of God. Amen. That's where the problem is. Women more concerned about their bodies than their faces, whether they smell like a rose or a tulip. Amen. They're interested in trying to live a life for God. That's right. Little old girls running around with little old mini skirts on, more interested in a boy. That's right. In a sex party than they are anything else. That's right. That's the way it is. Amen. And men's more interested in making a dollar. They don't care if mama turns into a prostitute and daughter turns into a prostitute and brother turns into a whoremonger and a drunkard and a gambler. Just as long as they satisfy the lust of the flesh. Amen. But God said, mighty man Gideon. Mighty man. Amen. A mighty man to valor. Gideon couldn't understand it, but when the angel expounded it to him. Oh, glory to God. It wasn't long before Gideon took that spear up in his hand, or that sword in his hand, took that shield and went out to battle. There was no hope for him because he was outnumbered. He didn't have any chance, but he went out to battle anyway. How did he do it? He did it by faith, my brother and my sister. Why? Because when the angel of God finally convinced him, he had a full assurance. That's right, he couldn't get fully assured to begin with. God had to lay a piece of fleece out there. You know, fleece, that's something you take off of a sheep. They call it wool, they call it fleece. And he put out a fleece to God. That easy, he laid out a piece of a sheepskin out there and said, Lord, wet this fleece and don't wet the ground if you're with me. God did it, he still wasn't convinced. So then, after angel appeared to him, after God did, he said, now God wet the ground, don't wet the fleece. He reversed it. Said, if you're with me. Amen, said, if you're with me. And finally, even that didn't convince him after God done it. So God said, come on over here, Gideon. Took him down to the camp. Went right down to the camp where the alien powers was encamped against Israel. And God said, listen, I want you to hear one of them tell a dream. One of them said, I had a dream. And said, there was, I believe he said, bread or barley bread. Come rolling down upon us. And the cry was Gideon and his men. And he defeated us. That was the essence of a dream. Came rolling down upon us. Brother old Gideon took courage. It took a lot to convince him. But he was thoroughly convinced and he stood out there. He got a full persuasion. He went back and began to tear down the groves and do away with the idolatry worship and stood one man by himself. Amen. As Noah did in his day. And glory to God. God met him and brought a victory. Amen. As far as I'm concerned, one man's the majority when he's got God. I said one man's the majority when he's got God. Hallelujah. You say, I'm just one little woman. Mary was too. Anna was too. Deborah was too. But glory to God. They had faith in God. Amen. They believed God. I feel real religious, don't you? Glory to God. They had faith in God. Why? They had full assurance. David was a little shepherd boy, and the giant stood about 9 feet tall, but it didn't bother David. I said, it didn't bother David. You say, Brother Pike, I got a problem I can't take care of. I got something I can't get around. But Brother Jesus can handle it. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ can handle it if you're willing to let him have it. You know the trouble with the church? They're making believe. They don't pray. They don't fast. They don't seek God. They don't try to keep virtue in their heart. They don't serve God with all their mind. They make and believe. But brother, the devil's not afraid of make believe. Amen. When you get serious with God, when this thing becomes your life, when it becomes your hope and your desire and ambition, and you lay everything aside for Jesus, then I'll tell you right now, you won't be making believe no more. Won't be making believe no more. Amen. So then what are we doing? We're trying to have full assurance in God, folks. That's what we need this morning. That's what the church world needs this morning. Oh, hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost, don't you? I feel the Holy Ghost. You say, I got a mountain too high to climb. Well, I know a good mountain climber. Amen. I heard a little article the other day. There where a man went up on the mountain, was going to scale a mountain, him and a friend of his, and got up there and it dropped way down, and the snow set in, and there on the mountainside, they climbed a little ledge. Now the strength to get out of there, there was on the mountain ledge, right there that couldn't get out and couldn't go up. And one of the men that was with him, with this other mountain climber, he died. He was a younger man, about 24 years old or something like that. Don't remember just exactly the age. But he died. And the mountain climber that was with him survived. And later they came in there and picked him up and brought him back down. Or brought this one back down safe. And when they asked him how he survived, he said, I didn't give up. He said, the other fellow give up. He said, but I didn't give up.
Amen.
Glory to God. I'm not fixing to give up. Amen. Not fixing to give up. Got no future plans for giving up. Glory to God. This has done got a hope to me in here. I got no future plans to give up. I see the end of a Christian race, and that's my heart. That's my desire. My treasures are in heaven. I'm on my way to that bright land. Hallelujah. I'm on that land where we sing that song. I bowed on my knees and cried, holy, holy, holy to the Son of God. I want to see him. I want to talk with him. I want to talk to a real man. A real man. Amen. That never relinquished when the cross got in front of him. That never relinquished from anything that God ever told him to do. But he stood there like a man. Glory to God. And he saw it through. I believe that's what we're going to have to be. Somebody said, well, Brother Pack, do you think we've got to be like that? If you'll ever be one with him, you've got to be like that. Amen. For a woman to be a frontiersman's wife, she had to be a frontiers lady. I said she had to be one that wasn't afraid of the Indians. That when he reached over and got his old musket, she'd reach over and give hers too. When he laid his musket in the window, she'd pull her trigger too. Amen, that's right. Courageous people. Amen, that set on the wild frontier, which was a symbol of this great spiritual conflict that's now going on. Amen. What is it? Women have got to be like that too. I know that we are not God, but I know that He's God. Amen. I know that we're God in Him, and we're made God. Amen. And we're one in Him, and whatever He is, so are we in Christ. Amen. That's right. That's what we are. That's right. God emptied everything into Christ that He was, and then Christ emptied everything into us that He was. Glory to God, and we're everything He is. So the Bible said, as He is, so are we in Christ. Amen. That's where we're standing right now. We are soldiers of the cause, and we are one with our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We may be women in His sight, but like I said, them frontier women knew what to do. They clung to that big husky arm of that robusting fellow that they had out there, and they stayed right with him. Amen. They wasn't afraid. They lent upon His strength. They lit upon His understanding. Men like Kit Carson, I've read some of them's life. When he was out in the West, I've read some of them's life. Brave, courageous men. Men that stood up. The women wasn't afraid to follow him. Somebody said, my wife won't follow me in the ministry, Brother Pack. I don't know what's wrong with her. Brother, I'll tell you one thing. If I was your wife, I wouldn't even follow you nowhere. I'll tell you what, you'd have a hard time even getting me to live with you. Some of you are so double-minded, up and down, so temperamental, and so in and out, and so undecided what you want to do, what you think you can do, until I never live with you. Amen. If I was a woman, I don't see how they live with you like they do. I commend them for living with you at all. Amen. That's right. But I tell you what, when you have a man that's got confidence in God, and got confidence to go out there and do what needs to be done, a woman will take hold of his arm. But she's smart. Women are smart enough to look at you and they can tell whether or not it's real, whether or not it's way down in here, or whether it's some head inspiration you got. They know whether it's that thing is real or not. My brother, when they know that that thing's real, there's some of them that go to death for you. Amen. They'd stand by to death. Them old frontier women, they stayed right there with them men. That's right. Some of them young women stayed right there with them men until the Indians burned the homes down, but they stayed right beside them. That's right. That's what we got to do, folks. That's what we got to do. Lean on the big arm of Jesus. Glory to God. The Bible said his arm's not sure. He can reach you. Amen. He said, iniquity separate between you and your God. Ask what you will in my name. He said, I'll do it. Glory to God, I'll do it. Ask what you will, I'll do it. But you got to have a made-up mind. Oh, hallelujah. You got to have faith in God. A full assurance. Don't waver. Don't waver. Don't doubt. Full assurance. Glory to God, full assurance. Amen. I feel the Holy Ghost, don't you? Glory to God, have full assurance. Amen. If you got full assurance, you can make it. I want you to stand with me. I feel like I could preach about 2 more hours. But having full assurance in God. Amen. Full assurance in God. That's what it's going to take, folks. It's going to take full assurance in God. You might have a cross this morning that you're facing. You might have a mountain you can't get over. But I'll tell you what. I'll base what little reputation I have got. And I'll base all that I am or ever be, whether it's temporal or eternal, I'll base it on this one statement and let all of my life and soul hang on it. Trust in him and he will not fail you. Hallelujah. If you're trusting God, God won't let you down. If you have faith in God, I don't care whether it's big or whether it's little, Jesus Christ will see you through. I challenge you in the name of my Lord and Savior this morning to have faith in God. Amen. You say, Brother Pack, you've never been there. You don't know. I beg your pardon. I might have been some places you've never been. That's right. I might know more than you think I know about it. But giving you the benefit of the doubt, whether I do or whether I don't, Jesus knows. Jesus knows. Have faith in God. Hallelujah. The worst mistake a man ever made is have faith in his own strength. Have faith in his own knowledge. Have faith in his own ability. Have faith in his job. Have faith in his substance. That's the worst mistake he ever made. Have faith in somebody. That's the worst mistake he ever made. For the Bible said, have faith in God. Jesus never even said, have faith in me. He said, have faith in God. Have faith in God. Amen. This morning we're going to let you go a little bit early. We've tried to minister to you tonight. If anybody's needy in their body, we'll pray for you. But this morning we thought we'd give some of them a break and let them get out a little bit early. I want you to bow your heads with me just for a few minutes of prayer now. Praise God.